Thanks, Brian. Hello, church. Everyone. Can the four confirmees and their mentors please come up? So Emily, Dan, Thomas, William. Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys, we've come to that exciting service this year again, Confirmation Sunday. And if I'm being totally honest, this is probably one of my favorite services of the year. And not because I get to stand up here and talk to you guys. That's not what it's about. It's just such an exciting service. And especially when we add in baptisms, just bearing in mind, not all the confirmees always want to be baptized or want to be baptized now, or some have been baptized already. So that's not necessarily, it's not formally part of the confirmation process, but people who want to get baptized, it's a good time to do so. And then Brian opened up to everyone. So it's always special. There's people in this church who don't even know we have a baptismal pool there. So always good to open it up. So we're doing Confirmation Sunday a little bit differently this year. We're splitting it up over two weekends. And the reason for that is one confirmee and one mentor couldn't make it this week. So they'll be coming up next week. As you saw, the baptism was part of today. But I just want to share why this is such a special day. This is not about me, and I'm not going to be up here for long, but I just want to say, why is this such a special day? So this year we had six young teenagers who are wanting to confess their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in front of this congregation. We had six. That means that since I've been involved in this ministry in 2012, I got involved. 38 young people have stood on this stage and professed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's a special... It's a special thing, and it's a wonderful marking in their journey as a Christian. It's something that's really, really special to them. And we've come to this point today, or they've come to this point, having walked the last 13 weeks or so with a mentor, going through very specific course material, but also asking those really tough questions that they want to find out about before they commit themselves to the faith. But over the years, I've seen, and I just want to be able to share with you guys, divine intervention. I've seen some incredible pairings. It's a one-on-one mentorship program. I've seen incredible pairings of mentors and confirmees. I've got numerous examples, but I'm going to give you two examples from this year alone, and I'm going to keep it anonymous as to who they are. One of the students this year approached me the week before confirmation was to start and said that they were interested in being confirmed this year. And so it was at church, and I sat down in my seat and I was deep in thought about, sure, I've got to find them a mentor within a week. I needed to think through that. And I was in a reflective state. I won't say I was praying and overly spiritual, but I was certainly deep in thought. And the person who ended up becoming their mentor sat down. 1 minute later, they sat down behind me. And I got a little tap on my shoulder from God, said, "That's your person. That is it." And it's been an incredible match. And God does that sort of thing. The other one, this year as well, I approached someone to be a mentor, and they about a particular person, and they said, "Wow, that teenager has been on my heart a lot lately. I've been thinking about them a lot lately." And we were both speechless as we realized how God had orchestrated that whole situation, and that relationship which then gets forged. We serve a mighty God. And he does these miraculous things. It's wonderful. So what does this all mean for the teenagers standing up here today and those that will come up next weekend? Since the beginning of February, they've been walking alongside their mentors for 13 weeks, just over 13 weeks of material. There's a course that they follow that gives the basic tenets of the Christian faith. You go through sections: God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, worship, baptism, all those kind of core fundamental things. They also read the book of Luke, which is 24 chapters, so they read that over the period, so give or take two chapters a week, which is great because it grounds the theoretical course in the life of Jesus, which ultimately anything in the church worth doing has to be building a greater relationship with Jesus and understanding who he is. So, and there's also a number of suggestions in the course about activities they can do as well. So it's a very structured process, but the magic really happens with the one-on-one mentorship and the ability to ask questions that they really want to get to the bottom of. So in a moment, the confirmees and the mentors will both get a chance to to say what this journey has meant to them. And then they'll be asked a few questions by Brian to confirm their faith confirm that Jesus is the way that they want to walk in, and confirming him as their Lord and Savior. But I want to just address this to the, if you don't mind my back for a little while, I just want to address this to the confirmees. Guys, the Bible says that when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, heaven rejoices. So we are sparking a celebration in heaven today, guys, with what's going to happen. And I'd also just like to encourage you guys that a verse from Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that, guys. Today's a monumental day for you. You're professing your faith in front of all these witnesses. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And lastly, I'll continue to get my back if you'll excuse me. I just want to thank my mentors. Guys, can't do it without you. Really do. Really do appreciate the time, effort, energy that you've put into this year. Every year, I'm blown away by people who commit themselves to this process. Some of you have served more than once. Thank you. I appreciate it. And you've been an integral part of a very important period of time in these young people's lives. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. So without any further ado, I'm not sure which way we're going to go. Let's go ladies first. How's that? Okay. So I'm going to hand over to these guys. Here we go.
Hello. So I don't know. I heard about this course way back in Feb, and Mom's like, do you want to do it? And I'm like, okay, sure. I didn't know what it was, but I went for it, and it's been the most amazing course I've ever done. I have gained so much knowledge about the Bible and about God and about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and I've gained like another family member, and it's just been such an amazing time and experience, and I feel like every teenager should at least try this once. Yeah, it's been amazing.
I'm not as brave as him. I need notes. So I'm beyond grateful that the Lord blessed me with this mentorship journey. He equipped me and he sustained me. So when Ross first contacted me, I was hesitant. What happens if I mess up? What happens if I don't know the answers? What happens if she doesn't like me? But I prayed and I asked God to place in my heart the answer. And after a few days, he did. During that time, I did try and convince God I wasn't the right person, but he absolutely knew I needed to trust him completely from the very beginning. So God is true to his word, and he blessed me with Emily. We've had deep conversations, unpacking scripture, learning a lot about God, and what he desires for us. We've laughed a lot, chatted about life in general, and sipped on many cappuccinos. It's been a privilege watching Emily grow in her knowledge of God and faith, seeking a deeper relationship with him. Em and I decided that it's not about knowledge of God, it's about knowing him with your heart. Through sharing my lifeline with Emily, I was again reminded of God's grace and mercy in my life. Looking back, I can clearly see the people who have played a role in guiding me on my faith journey, and I'm humbled and forever grateful for them. Emily has shown me patience and extreme kindness. The journey together has deepened my love for God and reminded me of how he wants me to see the world. We belong to the body of Christ. We are called into discipleship to spread the good news of God's love and forgiveness for all of us. As we've journeyed through the book of Luke, God has reminded me to trust him, to have faith in him. God wants a relationship with us, and we need a relationship with him too. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have to you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I believe it was certainly God's plan for Emily and I to journey together. I would encourage all of you to earnestly seek your hearts. And if God is calling you in the future to share in this journey with a young adult, don't hesitate, because he will equip you.
Morning, church. Just to reiterate what Ross said. Thank you, Brian. That's better. God works in mysterious ways, because that Sunday that he's talking about was me sitting behind him. Why I went to sit over there behind him, I don't know. God put me there. And it was just an amazing when I landed up sitting behind him. The next thing, he turned around and said, "You're the person I'm looking for to mentor a youngster by the name of Daniel." With no hesitation, I said, "Yes." Caught totally unawares and said, "Well, yeah, let's go for it." young Daniel, I found out, was very involved in the church, and I finally met him when I went to line up for a cappuccino. And that's where we actually met, and very grateful for that. What a pleasure I had on our journey together, going through the book of Luke, telling the story of Jesus' life. Basically, that's where our lives would go as well, in our faith. And just with all the tribulations in life, and we talked about it, we discussed it, we had a good time. And I learned that Daniel is a very dedicated, sincere, keen Christian, and I'm honored to have been involved in his journey of faith. We started our sessions meeting at the Bean Tree Cafe in Kloof, and our ritual before we actually started the session is, what was it, Daniel?
Milkshakes and chips.
Milkshakes and chips. The time spent together was so incredible, and before we knew it, we had completed the course. So it was just, it flowed so beautifully. It was great to be with a youngster like this and an old man like me. It really worked well. I'd like to thank Tracy and Rolly for that wonderful gathering that we had at your place with all the youngsters playing croquet and them beating us all the time. So it doesn't matter, but it was fun had by all. And it was a special time. We had to be part of a different age group interaction. The last task for me to see that Daniel was ready to have faith in himself, I gave him the opportunity to drive my old Land Rover donkey. Well, I'm really proud to tell you. He passed with flying colors. So that was just so that he had faith in himself. Well done, Daniel. So right now, he's an official number one fan of Donkey. I know Daniel is ready to take this big step of faith, and I'm confident that he will excel at being a committed young man to his family and to his Christian faith. Thank you, Daniel, and welcome to your church family. God bless you.
Hi, church. Last year, my teacher asked if I wanted to do this whole confirmation thing, and I was hesitant at first, and I was like, actually, I'm going to give it a try. Since last year, I don't know where I would be without even saying yes or just saying no in general, because with me, I have a huge anxiety of trying new things. These past 13 weeks have gone by very fast, and I remember the day that I did meet Flip. It was a week before any mentor met their confirmees, and I was like, I truly want to have a good relationship with them as my second father, because he's like a father to me, and my father, taking photos. These 13 weeks have been great. Learning about the Lord has also been very good, and because you wouldn't be anywhere without the Lord. Everything happens for a reason, and that reason's always a good reason. Even if Even if in the moment you don't know where you are, you always look to the Lord and have that faith. Because he's always told me, faith without works is the only way that you can actually build that relationship with the Lord. Because even if you do good, there's no good doing it without any faith in doing so. But thank you very much for these 13 weeks and two more weeks that we'll have.
It's been an amazing journey, and when you come, like days today where people confess their faith in the Lord, it's one of those things that Thomas and I refer to. You know, it's something I don't think we can really comprehend the significance of that. It's something that you can't buy. Nobody can teach you that. It's a gift from God. Gift of salvation, the gift of grace, and it's something that Thomas and I, you know, we often got to a stage where we just say, you know, this is just too big for us to understand, but we can live in it and we can walk in it every day in faith and in truth. So yeah, this brings me back to the morning when Ross extended the invitation for us looking for mentors for these people. And the first thing that came to mind was, oh, that's something that I really would have enjoyed as a youngster. I grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church. It's a very formal organization, and when I did confirmation, we were given a book. I think it was thicker than the Bible, and I think it more belonged to the Dominee's study than to teenagers, because it was very theoretical, and it was in a language that was almost not understandable by me. Possibly, I don't think I was the only one. So if I think back now, and the sad thing is, if I think back now, and I remember church, and then confirmation classes by one of the elders in the church. And I think back, is there anything that I can recall from that process? And to be honest with you, sadly, no. And that's what's so sad about it. And the best example that I can explain this is, and I'll come back to the course now, is it was in the 12 years at school when the teachers tried to teach us Burki to speak English. And that was a disaster. I remember my first essay in high school, when I opened my book after the teacher marked it, it was just red. And he wrote there that this looks like the Battle of Blood River. But he wrote it in Afrikaans because I'm sure he thought I won't understand it if he put it in English. And then in my matric year, I went for my first oral with my matric English teacher, and he said to me, if you want to pass English at the end of this year, you better find yourself an English girlfriend. Possibly the best advice that I got from any English teacher. And I did find an English girlfriend, and we got married, and it's now 42 years. And I passed matric. To these four amazing young people, we're all on a very high, and I can remember the day that I gave my life to the Lord. It was about 15, and you're just on cloud nine. But there are going to be days when you guys are going to eat potholes, and I don't want to damper this wonderful, joyful celebration day, but I want you guys to then think back to today. And that your salvation was paid for, not with money, but the blood of Jesus Christ. I was reading a teaching of Watchman Nee, one of our Chinese evangelists and martyrs, and he asked the question, what value do we put to the blood of Christ? And I was sort of, you know, how do we do that? Because in my mind, you know, it's numbers. That's why my mind works. And then, and he said, the blood of Christ was first and foremost for God. And it was so valuable and so special and so precious that a holy and righteous God accepted it. It was good enough for God. Again, we can't comprehend the value. But it's, if that blood was so precious and special that it satisfied a holy and gracious God and righteous God, I think we can, one of those things that again we can accept it in truth and live in it every day. And that's what I want. When you guys eat these bottles, and you are going to eat them, I promise you, you're going to eat them, you're going to feel your prayers are bouncing back from the ceiling, just remember how precious you are, that Christ bought you with his blood. And think about this day and just press forward. Don't give up. Yeah, and I just want to, from my side, thank the church, Pastor Brian and Ross, for this amazing opportunity to go through this ministry that I think is a very, very, very special journey. It allows us to discuss the gospel of Jesus Christ, the full gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we can have watered down versions of the gospel because there's some serious stuff in the gospels as well. Jesus spoke about, I mean, I Googled it. I didn't verify it. Obviously, you've got to look at the different translations, but Google tells me that Jesus spoke about hell in the Gospels 72 times. So we have the wonderful story of baby Jesus, and we have the wonderful stories of people committing their lives to the Lord and sick being healed and people raised from the dead. But hell is also true. And the danger of what we have at the moment is the internet. I didn't have that, and thank God for that. But you have people, I listened to an interview of I'm not going to mention names, I actually should, but anyway, I'm not going to, of a guy who's got a church in America, and he was interviewed by somebody about his views on hell. And sorry, I just want to stress a point. And after the interview, the commentator summarized it and said, this person who's got a massive church in America does not agree with the real hell as Jesus defines it in the gospel. Now, if we don't lay a foundation of the full gospel to these young people, then how are they going to discern what is correct and what is not correct? How are they going to measure it against the Bible if we don't tell them about these things? I want to, it's another Boerke story. A friend of mine, his dad woke up one morning and he decided, no, it's time that these little farm boys of his learned to speak English. So he enrolled them at St. Andrew's School, put them in boarding school in Bloemfontein, the English school, and Neil developed a runny tummy. So he went to the sister, I think they call it the San, if I'm not mistaken, and that was in Bloemfontein. She possibly spoke better Afrikaans than he did, but I mean, he was now in this English environment, and he had a runny tummy, a diarrhea. And the sister asked him what's wrong, and the only English word that he could get in his mind that's stomach-related was constipation. So he said to the sister, I'm constipated. He said to me, she gave him some medication. He said to me, Flip, I didn't even make it to the first bathroom. So what I'm trying to say here is, if we teach the gospel to these kids and we teach diarrhea, let them understand diarrhea. Let me not teach diarrhea and they understand constipation, because that's not going to work. We've got to teach them the full gospel story. Yeah, so to me it was an amazing privilege. It was an amazing young man. And we're privileged to have Richard and Nikki here today. He's Thomas's mom and dad. And that's very special. And you've got a young man here that you can be very, very proud of. I mean, I've developed a relationship that I'm sure is going to continue for many years. And I've learned as much from him, I think possibly more than that I could teach him. But this is an amazing, amazing ministry. It's a little booklet about this thick. It covers different topics. I think they're very well planned and put in order. And it's almost like a jigsaw puzzle that you put together. And every week you put a piece together. And at the end of the journey, you've got the full picture of what the Bible is all about, what God is all about, what Jesus Christ is all about, what the Holy Spirit is all about, and that it's a relationship. It's not a religion, and that was very special to me to share that with Thomas. Yeah, and we also met in, I don't know, was there a place that we didn't have a chocolate milkshake and a chicken mayonnaise sandwich. That was very special. Yeah, so I enjoy some of these old hymns, and I think if we can these guys can go back and say, and I'm not going to say sing, I'm going to say tell, but I can tell the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me and says, I was lost, but Jesus found me. So if we can walk away here and we've equipped these young men and lady to tell the wondrous story of Christ who died for us, then it's amazing. And I think we can all rejoice in what's happened here today. Thank you very much.
Hi. Okay, this is nervous. So, I didn't take my meds this morning, so excuse me when I go, squirrel! Okay. This man is such a wonderful man. He has taught me more lessons in vocab lessons than actual Luke lessons. And he has given me plenty of Latin and French lessons, and there's many times when he's rocked up at my gates and said, I see you, and I see in core. And I'm like, huh? This journey that I had with him, before I had it with him, I didn't know where I was going in life, and I had a hard time finding someone that I could relate to. And when I first got baptized in Ananda, it was in a really rural area. And that's the first night in maybe about 5 years that I actually shed tears because I felt the Spirit flowing through me. I teared up while the pastor was praying for me, talking in tongues, and I fell to the floor. That's the first moment I felt whole again. After that, I was happy, but I didn't know where I was going still. And because I didn't find anyone that I could relate to, I started living with my teacher, and my teacher introduced me to the church. When I started coming to the church, I met Latin man. And when my teacher started telling me, hey, would you like to do this confirmation course? I was like, I would love to. What's it about? So she gave me the details. And when I started, Latin man came up to me and he said to me, hey, I'm your mentor. I'm like, no way. I got Einstein? I'm going to pass everything now. That's it. I'm the winner. I'm Mr. Intelligent now. And when I started to get to know my mentor, I started finding purpose in my everyday life these past 13 weeks where I started feeling really whole and happy and less anxious about my outgoing occasions like coming to church or to youth or going out in general. As we started to get to know each other, he forced himself, when he didn't have to, but he forced himself to relate to me because he noticed that no one else could relate to me. And he taught me so many things that I never thought I would ever learn growing up with anyone. And as he taught me vocab lessons, I taught him patience, because this was before I was in Ritalin. So it was a huge thing, and I just got to say thank you so much, Ted, for putting up with me and teaching me the way of the book and the word and worship, and you mean a lot to me, so thank you very much.
This from the guy who doesn't like to be up front. I have little to say, as usual. Thanks, Ross, for putting this all together. Don't you always wonder how Ross does the matching? It's wonderful how it works every year. The obvious link for us is that we're both tall, dark, and handsome. I heard that. But Ross didn't know William's deep need for extra vocabulary. Ross might have known my deep need for somebody to look up to.
Patience.
So we managed, thanks to the finger of God. This has been a very easy journey for me. These 3 months have been really just a saunter along the way, watching William and Jesus interact. How does one read a doctor's handwriting? Sorry. Random comment there. So William, I think, is a lot deeper than he would allow you to think. I think he's a lot deeper than I am in a number of ways. He's quite a good prayer of prayers, if you need somebody to pray with you or for you. And we had a number of occasions on which various prayer needs came up. And it was remarkable how many of them came up and were answered fairly rapidly. I think we're still working on the drive of Bugatti, yes? that's still a work in progress. But William's response to those answered prayers was very mature. Oh yeah, right, this is Kingdom of God stuff. I mean, this is the way it works, isn't it? And I'm saying, Lord, you just did that. We just ask you and you just did that. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I grew quite a lot. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, I commend this young man to you, to your fellowship, and your love and your care to this community of faith. You'll have noticed how shy he is, like me, but brave, unlike me. He's gentle, but he's strong, he's tough. He's innocent in some ways, but he's extremely perceptive. I commend him to you.